Thank you, Finney, for sharing this morning. And it's great to see how the Lord is leading him and his family, and he's been in my prayers constantly, day and night. And it's good to see the wonderful work of the Lord in his life. Let's bow our heads and commit him again to the throne of grace. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence this morning. And Father, we thank you for thy faithfulness towards each one of us. Father, thou art with us every moment of our life. Even when we go through trials and difficulties of our life, thou art with us. Father, we come into your presence as an assembly and thank you for what you have done for Finney and giving him the measure of healing. And as he is able to come here today and join us together, we could together worship and praise your holy name. And Father, we know that there are challenges ahead of them. Personally for him, as a family, we pray and commit them as a family to the throne of grace and pray that I may lead them and guide them. Watch over them through the months that is ahead of them. And we pray for complete healing and recovery for him. And thank you for hearing our prayers. Father, we pray this in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23. It says here, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Then chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In November, in our adult Bible study time, I will be continuing the study from 1 Peter, which I actually started several months ago, and I believe it was last November, last year. So we will start looking at one of the most interesting and very precious portions from 1 Peter. And, you know, then again, preachers always tell you that the portion that they are going to speak from is precious and interesting. You know, maybe that is because whenever you spend so much time studying and preparing from a scripture portion, it becomes more and more and more interesting and precious, and can be true of any portions from the Word of God. The reason I found that the portion of 1 Peter here is so interesting because the verse that we just read, first chapter, starting from verse 23 of the first chapter, from there we see a picture developing in sequence, and it starts with the birth of a Christian. And that's what verse 23 is about. born again, the birth of a Christian. And then Peter moves on to growth of a Christian in the beginning verses of chapter 2. The word that is there, you may grow thereby. So in the verse 23, it's the birth of a Christian. The beginning of chapter 2 is the growth of a Christian. And then Peter moves on to the privileges of a Christian. Later in the chapter, the privileges of a Christian. And what comes after privileges? What goes with the privileges of a Christian? Responsibility. Every privilege has a responsibility that attached to it. And then Peter moves on to responsibilities of a Christian. And finally, the example of a Christian. Peter will point us to something that says there is a goal, there is an aim for your growth, aim for you, for your privileges, your responsibilities, that all reach to a climax in a person, and he is the example of a Christian. So verse 23, so birth of a Christian, the growth of a Christian, the privileges of a Christian, the responsibilities of a Christian, and then the example of a Christian. So verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we see here, as I said, the birth of a Christian in this verse. And everything Peter is going to write about from here on is based on this tremendous event that happened in the life of a believer. And that event is the birth into the family of God. And Peter says, and the word of God is the instrument by which this event has taken place. And Peter compares it to a seed, an incorruptible seed, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. So one thing about a seed is that it has all the potential to grow into something big, something great. Even a mighty oak starts its life from a small acorn. So the word of God that you have sown in our hearts has all the potential for great growth, but under the right environment. I have read an incident in the life of G. Campbell Morgan. He was a British evangelist in the early 1900s. I think he passed away in 1945. So he was visiting a famous cemetery, and there was an oak tree that grew out of a gravesite. And that tree actually broke the marble slab into two. The slab that was on the top of the grave, and it broke into two pieces, and it grew out, the oak actually grew out of the opening that the tree created on the marble slab. So probably when the workers were digging the grave, an acorn fell into the hole, and through the years, it grew and it grew and it grew, and pushed out through the marble slab and broke it into two pieces. Now, try breaking a marble slab with an acorn, with a seed. It cannot be done. But a tree that came out of the acorn could do it. The seed had all the potential to grow into a mighty tree. So that is my main subject today, that is spiritual growth. So those who are born again already has the seed of great potential in their life, potential for explosive growth, but we do not often see a lot of growth in many believers. And some years ago, I heard an illustration from a brother that really made an impact in my mind regarding the subject of Christian growth. We have a lot of young families in our assembly, and at times new babies are born into the families. And birth of a new baby is one of the happiest occasions to the family as well as to the extended family and also to the whole church family. And we rejoice with the family for the wonderful gift of a precious life. And suppose you visit one of these families and they take you to a nursery, a crib, and the world where the baby is lying, and you look at that baby and you say, what a wonderful sight, what a beautiful sight, what a wonderful gift from God. And you go away rejoicing in your mind. And suppose you went away for a few years, maybe after 5 years, you went for another town, another country, and you came back. You decided to go and visit the family again. And you got to the family and asked, how is the little Tommy doing? And suppose they take you to the nursery, to the crib, and you see a baby lying in the crib. What will be your reaction? It will be a far different reaction from the way you felt 5 years before. You will not think that it is a beautiful sight anymore. It is not a wonderful sight because you were expecting that baby to be making progress in his life through these years, and he should be crawling and then walking and then talking and then playing, not lying in a crib after 5 years. And you immediately recognize there is a great problem here. There is something terribly wrong here. And you probably could tell where I'm going with this. So then the illustrator has connected this to our spiritual life. We have been born again. We have born into the family of God with all the potential is already installed in us. That the natural expectation is that we will grow each day and make progress in our Christian life. But that is not always the case. Then the illustrator has made a comment that it is possible that the pews of the churches can become the cribs for these spiritual babies, where they can lie year after year after year without making much progress, without much growth. One commentator said that the pews of the churches has become the playpen for the spiritual babies instead of workshop for the grown-ups. So there is a need for spiritual growth. And the seed is already in you. If you are born again, a seed is in you with all the potential for explosive growth that can do great things. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the writer, it is Paul, he said, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use of their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Because of the lack of time, I'm going to skip some of the portions that I have prepared. But both Paul and both Peter, both from Hebrews and from 1 Peter, they're both making the argument that there need to be spiritual growth. We know that there is a difference between Christian growth and physical growth. Normally, physical growth is automatic. But Christian growth and maturity comes only by pursuing it constantly, working at it constantly, making it deep into your heart. And that is the reason Christian growth and maturity does not always correspond with our age or physical growth. Not everyone who grows old grows up. Just because a Christian has been saved for 10 or 20 or 30 years does not guarantee that he is mature in the Lord. It is possible to be born, to have a spiritual life for a long period of time, but no growth, no progress in Christian life. The older I get, and after being part of an assembly for some time, I'm convinced that the spiritual immaturity is the number one problem in the assemblies we face. So first chapter ends with the birth of a Christian, and chapters two starts with the growth of a Christian. So this passage tells us a great deal about how you grow as a Christian. How can you grow in your Christian life when you start out as a spiritual baby? Or Peter has put it here as newborn baby. This passage tells us a great deal about how to do it. I'm skipping quite a few of what I have intended to speak because of the time, but I want to look at the peril that comes with no growth, the dangers that we may face when there is no growth is taking place. When you are a spiritual baby, when you are a child, one thing that we find out about children is that they easily believe anything you say. They easily believe anything you say. In all their sincerity, they believe it. I heard an illustration once that goes like this. There is a comic strip, used to come on Sunday paper in the comic page. I used to be first I glance at the front page and then I go right to the comic page. I love it because it has a way of communicating complex ideas in a very simple format that anybody can understand, and definitely I needed that. So, one of them was called Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know, many of you may be familiar with it. One day, Calvin said to his father, "Dad, where does the sun go at night?" And father said, "Well, at night, sun sets in the west." So he asked, "Oh, where in the west, Dad?" And father said, "Around Phoenix. You know, it sets around Phoenix. That's why it's so hot out there and everything is a desert." And then Calvin says, "Well, then, how does it get over to the other side and come up in the east the next day?" So dad said, well, they put it on a truck and drive it all night and bring it to the other side. And then Calvin goes to bed and he says to his mom, I hope I will be as smart as dad when I grow up. So, you know, this is a good illustration of as to the psychology of a child in their sincerity and in their innocence. Usually believe anything you say to them. If you are staying a spiritual babe, there is a danger that you are a prey for those who want to lead you along the wrong path. And you believe the wrong teaching that comes along. The more dynamic a teacher is, a preacher is, a minister is, the more exciting the event is, people just flock to them and swallow every word they say. Because in 2 Peter, Peter wrote, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. So what is a safeguard from these false teachers? How do we know the truth about God and his word? Peter says, the end of his epistle in 2 Peter, he tells us, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you all also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is the remedy for being led astray. Grow up. Don't stay a spiritual babe. There is dangers ahead of you. If it is not, don't think it is not true. Don't think it is not, it will not happen to us. You know, one thing to keep in mind is that our natural talents, natural abilities is no indication of spiritual growth or maturity. You think you are smart. You have an excellent education. You have a job that is very high up in the ladder. You can tell when someone is trying to lead you in the wrong direction. That's what we think. But you are as vulnerable and as anyone else to fall in the trickery and deceitful of men through their cunning, craftiness, and deceitful plotting. And that is what the verse is telling us in Peter. Says we should be no longer be children, but what? At the end of the verse, be may grow up in all things unto him who is the head of Christ. I recently watched a documentary about different cults that came along in the past. And one thing that shocked you is to find that some of these people were extremely smart people. They were extremely intelligent. They were CEOs, CFOs of major companies. They were doctors, they were lawyers. And people who are extremely, extremely intelligent. How can this happen? How can they follow a person that tells you they are Jesus Christ? Or as one cult taught that their teacher was there to finish what Jesus Christ could not finish because of his, quote, untimely death. Our natural talents, our natural abilities, our natural intelligence is no indication of spiritual growth or spiritual maturity. So first thing about children is that they believe anything you say. Well, actually, I have three more, but I cannot go there now. And we will save that for our adult Bible study. But what we have seen in 1 Peter, as we study this portion, we come to realize that from the birth to the end of our life, Peter is very beautifully giving us people this portion, the birth, the growth, the privileges, responsibilities, and ultimately show us a person that we should be growing into, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to be in your presence. And Father, to look into your very precious words. And Father, learn what thou hast been telling us through thy servant Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, from our God Almighty himself. And Father, we pray that in the days to come that we may continue to grow in our spiritual life, that we may spend our time and take these words and make it our own and let it go deep into our hearts. Father, when times of trials, times of difficulties, times of tribulation comes roaring in our way, the wind of adversity comes against us to move us, to shake us, that we may stand strong. And Father, once again, we thank you for this assembly and thank you for each and every believer. We once again thank you for thy faithfulness towards each one. Once again, thank you for Finney. Thank you for thy marvelous and wonderful way thou hast brought them along. And we pray for others also that are weak and need physical help, physical strength. We commit them also into the mighty hands. Pray that they may lead us and guide us as we go through this wilderness, that we may completely trust you, completely rely on you, completely cast ourselves on you, that we may find our resources from you and eat for each moment of our life. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and we pray all these in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.